adopt the Critical Infrastructure Bill, the D Bill. That will be the first item, and of course the second item, as agreed upon, we will start with the processing of the referral of the speakers. So, honourable members, we're going to start with the first item. I just want to get an indication whether members have got copies of the C and D Bill, as well as the committee report. Members will remember there was consensus in the committee when we discussed the matter last time. So today is just for the final briefing, as well as the processing clause by clause. Everybody's got the committee report, and also this, the C and the D Bill. I'm going to give an opportunity to honourable members to... Right, there's one member that needs a copy of the C Bill. Secretariat, can you please assist? I will now give an opportunity for the honourable members to introduce themselves, and then I'll ask the department, as well as South African Police Services, to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Goeiemôre, dames en heren. My naam is Angie Molibatsi. Ek is 'n lid van hierdie komitee en ek dank u.
Dimashalone avudi, anokwamba ndima picha libuhani, ndimurado wa komitee ya chipolisa, ndolibu.
Good morning, my name is Lena Tukamatlakane, member of this committee.
And I'm Diane Kolobana, also a member.
And I'm Nick Kornoff, not a member, but standing in, assisting a quorum.
Thank you very much. Our members, we got two apologies from members who's on the campaign trail on this Friday, and then there's two members who's attending funerals in Limpopo and Mpumalanga respectively, but they will be with us on Monday. Thank you. Is there any other? No apologies. Okay. I don't know. We haven't received, I think, an apology. Thank you. We'll ask in the department to introduce themselves, as well as SAPS. Thank you. Advocate.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. I'm Dawn Bell. I'm part of the drafting team, and I'm from the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Milton Turner, also from the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. I'm Brigadier Bert van der Walt from South Africa Police Service.
Thank you very much. If the Secretariat can just take us through the briefing, and then we'll go to the C list, and then we will go clause by clause, and then we must also adopt the committee report. Thank you very much. Who's going to give the spokesperson or woman? Thank you. Much, you can continue, sir. Thank you.
I know I worked off my laptop. Did we ever get a hard copy of the written committee report on the bill? There is. Okay. Thank you. I'll dig again. Oh, here it is. Okay. I was just given it. Sorry. Hello.
Thanks, Chair. The first of our presentation, Chair, is just going to be to look at first the proposals that we got from the research of the portfolio committee, as well as the proposals from the select committee. And there, in the proposal, the main three functions that we're going to be focusing on is the functions of the council, as well as the clauses that relate to the cybersecurity issue, as well as the issue on the regulations. Chair, in the definitions, the definitions of cyber response committee is going to be deleted, and that's a result of the issue relating to the cybersecurity bill, that the issues relating to cybersecurity must be dealt with in that legislation, not in this one. That was pointed out also by the research of the committee, and also the issue of amending the definition of infrastructure. Also, that also there was a portion that also spoke to the issue of cybersecurity there. So that definition was also going to be amended. Chair, regarding the proposals from the select committee, the department met with the select committee when this bill was transferred to that other side, and we engaged them from between September up until end of November. And the department is in agreement with the proposals emanating from the deliberations that we as a drafting team had with the select committee. One of the issues that was picked up during the deliberations with the select committee, there was an anomaly in the terms of frequency of reporting by the council to the minister and by the minister to parliament. I think it was stated that the minister must report twice, whereas the council now is reporting once. So now that issue has been dealt with, they both report twice. Also, the deliberations that were held, the select committee suggested that instead of the infrastructure council submitting an annual report to the minister within 3 months after the end of this financial year, they should be reporting on a annual basis to the minister. That's the clause that was changed in clause 7. And then, Chair, the issue regarding to cyber, as a result of the deletions that were done, so there was some consequential cost referencing that resulted in the changes to clause 11. That's deleting the functions of the inspectors, as well as the fact that on the 30th of October, the Department of Justice presented a radically amended version of the Cybercrimes and Security Bill to the Portfolio Committee of Justice and Correctional Service that resulted in us having to remove provisions that are relating to issues of cybersecurity, as well as you see in clause 12.8 of the bill, it was a proposal that clause be deleted because it dealt with the issues of cyber. And then that mainly the clause that dealt to those issues are in clause 17 of the bill that was sent to the select committee. And as I said, that the biggest shift in the clause is the removal of provisions relating to the issues of cybersecurity. And then as a result of the amendments that were affected on that bill that was processed by the Committee of Justice, it has been agreed at the select committee that clauses 17.4 of the bill that was considered by this committee should be deleted. And then, Chair, you see when Brigadier Van der Walt goes through the series, there were lots of consequential amendments that were effected on the bill as a result of the deletion that was done in subsection 4 of clause 17. Then the next issue also that was affected was the issue of clause 20. Clause 20 is dealing with the powers of the minister to declare infrastructure as critical infrastructure. And as mentioned earlier, Chair, the Select Committee proposed that references to cybersecurity must be deleted. And also as a result of that, clause 20, sub 4 up to sub 6, that provided that the Minister of Police must consult with ministers responsible for state security on issues of infrastructure, partly consisting of information and communication must be deleted. And then, Chair, I think the second last issue was the issue of regulations, that is in clause 27 of the bill. Before the Minister promulgates any regulation, the proposed regulations must be published in the Gazette for public comment, and the bill that was adopted by the Assembly provided that the Minister must also table draft regulations in Parliament for scrutiny before promulgation. There was some discussions that were held at the Select Committee, Chair, about the word scrutiny. The issue was deliberated quite a lot, and it was submitted that the power to make regulations rest with the Minister. And then it was also agreed that it will be sufficient for the Minister to table the regulations for notification instead of scrutiny. And then the Select Committee proposed that the word scrutiny should be substituted by the word notification. However, Chair, in our last session, we noted that the Portfolio Committee preferred that the word scrutiny should remain. And lastly is the Transitional Arrangements Clause, Clause 30. In that clause, that's also relating to the issues of cyber. It says that in the event that no legislation on cyber security is in operation, when this act comes into operation, the Minister must consult with the member responsible, cabinet member responsible for state security, to determine interim guidelines on the manner in which application contemplated in 17.4 must be dealt with by any person performing a function of in terms of this act. And as you recall earlier on, 17.4 has been deleted, and also the consequences of this, now this subsection will also be deleted, writing from the proposal agreed that all clauses relating to issues of cyber should be deleted. I think, Chair, that's an overall changes that have been made in the bill, and now Brigadier Van der Walt can also take us through on the CPDs.
Thank you very much, sir. Brigadier, you can go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. The amendments agreed to by this committee, Clause 1, Number 1 on page 4 from line 35 to omit Cyber Response Committee. That was the definition of the Cyber Response Committee and is a consequential change as a result of the references to the cyber security legislation that's taken out. Also on page 5, the second one, page 5 from line 1, after water, to omit the words, but excludes any information infrastructure as contemplated in any legislation on cyber security. Once again, a consequential change as a result of the references to the cyber security legislation. Clause 4, the first issue there is the insertion of the words in the last two lines of that specific one. It's a reference to the requirements for the Critical Infrastructure Council private members, and the paragraph reads, preferably appropriately qualified, knowledgeable and experienced in fields that include critical infrastructure protection, risk management, disaster management or basic public services, and then the following words are inserted, which must include at least one person who is appropriately qualified in cybersecurity. That insertion was debated in the Select Committee, and the committee felt that if the references to the cybersecurity legislation is taken out, that at least one person must be qualified in cybersecurity, and the department also agreed to that insertion. With regards to Clause 7, that's the reporting issue that my colleague Advocate Ntwana pointed out, where the words submit a report to the minister within 3 months after the end of each financial year are omitted and then substituted with on a biannual basis submit a report to the minister. And this is to ensure that the council and the minister both report on a biannual basis. And then on page 9, the second one on page 9 from line 53, after during to omit the words the preceding financial year and to substitute with the words the period preceding the report, and that is a consequential change to allow for the biannual reporting. Number three, in relation to clause 7, is a consequential change in the numbering. Number 1 of clause 11 is also a consequential change relating to the numbering. Clause 12, the reference to the cyber response committee is deleted with the omission of subsection 8. Clause 17 is a 1, 2, 3, actually 1 to 16, Chair, are all consequential numbering changes. The committee will note that 3 and 4 appears to be longer insertions, but those were just to correct the references to bring it in line with the other omissions. With regards to clause 20, the subsections 4, 5 and 6 are omitted. Those are references to the procedure in respect of the critical information infrastructure, where the Minister of Police refers it to the Minister for State Security. Those are now omitted. Clause 27, the first one, is also a consequential numbering change, as well as the second one, which is a consequential numbering change. And then clause 30, subsection 9, clause 9 was omitted because it provides for transitional provisions in respect of critical information infrastructure, once again relating to the cybersecurity legislation. That completes the previous chapters.
Thank you very much, Brigadier. Honorable Caleb Barnard.
Chair, could I just ask where you have clause 4 on page 7? And it says there that the relevant civilian, obviously they have to be qualified and knowledgeable in the fields, but it says preferably. Now, is that not a sort of weasel word that lets you put in people who have no qualifications at all, totally irrelevant to the subject? You say, well, yeah, but this person needs a job or is related to me or whatever. I mean, it's a weasel word. Surely they must be appropriately qualified. I maybe didn't spot it at the outset, but I'm very concerned about it now. Thank you.
I think we've discussed it during the deliberations, and maybe the department can also comment. But remember, the onus for the appointment of those civilian members will be on Parliament and the Portfolio Committee on Police. So surely those members who are there must ensure that the capabilities and expertise of that committee is sufficient that it can be said to the National Assembly that those persons have the necessary, you know, expertise and gravitas. But let's hear the members. Honourable Molobatsi.
I thought in our last meeting, we agreed on this page, I mean the presentation on page 9, I thought we agreed that on scrutiny it should be deleted. And I see now we speak of substitution by notification. Can I be clarified?
That's just maybe the other way around. Remember, this proposal, Honourable Molobatsi, from the Select Committee was notification. We from the Portfolio Committee said, no, if you want to have proper parliamentary oversight, it must be scrutiny. So that was the view. Anybody else? Honourable Bailey.
Thanks, Chair. On the issue of the deletions to references to cybersecurity, I understand and I'm on board with all of the changes that were made because of the developments in the Justice Committee. But I'm just wondering, or at least maybe somebody can alert me to something that would put me at ease. I'm just wondering if there might not be a wisdom in retaining the clause in the transitional arrangements, whereby it says that if by the time this act comes into operation, there's still nothing on the Cybersecurity Crimes Bill, then at least you have that mechanism being explicit around the need for interim guidelines between the two ministries. Because I mean, hopefully it won't need to be activated. But if we don't have that, then there's a complete gap and no explicit provision for this legislation to enable and facilitate covering those cybersecurity issues. So all the others before that are fine around the committee and all that sort of stuff, but I think just that transitional arrangements one might be useful to retain, unless the delegation can somehow put me at ease that there's something else that sort of covers that scenario. Thanks, Chair.
Member, Honourable Ramachakani.
I heard the words that was used in the presentation, a radical amendment to the cyber security bill. I think it means that it's fairly good, because the chosen words radical means really that is quite strong. In that event, I don't know if we were to take the Honorable Mbele's point on board, what would be the other consequential of adding that in the transitional arrangement? Because it may well mean that it is not only that you add. There may well be all other issues that you may say in transition, in the transitional period, this must then be performed based on this particular bill. So my worry is that you can add it, but if you don't explain the detail of what would then happen in the event that is not in place, then it means you have to also be structure and the content of this current bill to make the transitional edition operational. Otherwise, it won't be able to function without having to give it a teeth. But I'm not answering in terms of what the drafters are saying. But I don't quite doubt that the what is presented in the Justice Committee is not going to be materialized. So I hesitate to agree without, I'm not quite doubting the ability of that once it's already been presented that it's not going to be realized. So we may add something that is really quite superfluous. It's not going to be able to do anything. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ask you on Bukarabana's hand, and then we'll go to the department.
Thank you, Chair. This speaks to a concern I voiced at the time. I understand completely. Justice Committee are working on a bill that will take over all of this, and that's fine. But your trust in them is very nice, but you can't give me a date, nor can you give me a date on when the President will sign it off. So it's not even completed yet. So what we will in effect be doing is removing any oversight at all and right of the police to do to action on the cybercrime issue until a year, 2 years. You know how bills can sit for how long before it's actually promulgated. So that's why I use the word, we're leaving a void, an absolute vacuum here. We're taking it out of here in the hopes that at some stage they will pick it up. So what happens in the meanwhile? Because we're saying okay today to this, and maybe it's signed in the next 2 days. It's law. But we don't know when the other committee are doing their work or how long it will take. So I think my colleague's submission that something should be put in the transitional arrangements that gives the right for cybercrime issues that we had laid out to fall under this bill until such time as that bill is passed. Then it falls away. So these legal people must be able to put it in some acceptable way, because otherwise we're actually stopping people doing the work, which is a very awkward position to put the SAPs in.
Honourable Ramakrishnan, you want to come in, or let's give the department opportunity? I wish members raised this earlier when we had the opportunity, but we have democracy, we have vibrant debate. Let's give opportunity to the department to respond.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members, for the questions. I think these are very pertinent questions. The committee did discuss those during the deliberations, but I may just add, with the Honourable Mbede's question, whether the transitional provision should, in 30 subclause 9 that was now removed, should remain there. One must keep in mind that the State Security Agency will also have a representative on the Critical Infrastructure Council in the first place. But in the second place, in terms of Clause 12, it provides for ad hoc committees that may be established by the National Commissioner. Now, the practice at the moment is that there is such a committee between SAPS and SSA that that committee deals with these type of issues on a very operational level. So they are being sorted out at that level, and I think when the regulations are drafted, there will certainly be provisions for that committee to function as well. I had extensive discussions with the law advisor for the Justice Committee on the Cyber Crimes and Cyber Security Bill, and there were several options available. One of the options was to include all references to cybersecurity information infrastructure in this bill. But obviously that's not a function of the police or the Minister of Police. It remains with state security. So that was not a viable option. The second option was to remove all references in this bill. And then when the cybersecurity legislation is before the Justice Committee, that there be transitional provisions in that bill to link it up with this. This will be an act, hopefully, by then, to link it up with this bill. So we will just be doing it the other way around, so that bill will then link up with this one in that legislation. And fortunately, there is an awareness of that with the Department of Justice, and I'm sure that we will also participate in that drafting of that bill. Thank you, Jim.
Any other input from the department, Civilian Secretariat? Nothing.
Chair, I had one other, the word preferably.
We discussed it, so I can't, if you can see me.
No, Chair, I just wanted to confirm what you said earlier. These candidates will have to go through the parliamentary committee before they are even recommended to the minister. So I think we can trust parliament that family members, as you mentioned earlier, who don't have jobs, I don't think those people will come successfully through the system. The word preferably just denotes a preference that they must be qualified. But there may be people from civil society who are qualified in other fields but will make a contribution on this committee.
During the deliberations, members will remember we specifically said we want specifically also people from civil society organizations, advocacy groups as part of that body. So if you make it too specific, you will exclude, you know, that category of people. So that was the discussion during the discussions, I think the main motivation. The discussion, do members feel strongly or what is there a feeling of the House that we can move to the D bill? Is there consensus? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Thank you, Department. Right, members, let's go then to those clauses that we need to adopt. The D bill, the new clause 1. Right, can we get the proposal? Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Seconder. Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Then we move to Clause 4. Can we get the proposal? Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Seconder, Honourable Mabija. Thank you. Clause 7. Thank you, Honourable Mbele. Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Colleagues, can we then move to Clause 11? Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Seconder? Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Can we move to Clause 12 on page 13? Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Colleagues, then we move to Clause 17, the new Clause 17. Thank you. Seconder? Thank you, Honourable Abidja. Then we move to Clause 20 on page 18. Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Clause 27 on page 24. Proposal, Honourable Molobatsi. Seconder, thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. And then Clause 30. Thank you, Honourable Ramatlakane. Seconder, thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Can we then put the bill as a whole? Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Can we, are we in terms of process still fine? Staff, legal advisors? Can we then move to the committee report? It's a three-page document that was circulated this morning, and it just is indication of those clauses that we adopted. So this report will go to the NA to be considered. Can we get a proposal? Thank you, Honourable Ramadani. Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Thank you very much, Honourable Members, for your participation. Thank you to the Department, and again, thank you to civil society, all the participants. We will have to now ensure that this bill goes to the House within the next 2 weeks to ensure that it's adopted. Thank you very much. Honourable Members, I will allow 2 minutes for the Department if they want to depart or they want to stay for item two. Maybe the back bench can come to the front bench if they wish, and then we will go to item two. Thank you. 2 minutes. Thank you. thank you very much, honourable members. We're going to resume our meeting. We're going now to item two, the referral by the honourable speaker. Maybe just the first issue is the issue of the committee program. I must first address that I can just get the ratification of the members. Now, members will realize that as we discussed last week, we've got the 28th as the deadline to deal with this matter in terms of the settlement court order in North Gauteng. Now, what we are proposing to the committee, remember we indicated that today we will look at the various written submissions. We will look at what additional submissions we need, the process forward, but we need to utilize every available day until the 28th. So we applied on Wednesday to the House Chairperson and the Chief Whip for permission to sit on a constituency day. That permission was granted. So the proposal is that we will then sit on this coming Monday from 10 o'clock onwards until 5 or until we finish our deliberations and discussions. And then Tuesday, the 26th, there is in the afternoon the House a three-line whip, but I think what we will do, if we need more time, we'll get permission and we use G26 at the back of the NA and come out for the votes, unless the parties will refrain from opposing legislation in the House. And then on Wednesday as well, I think there's questions to the Deputy President, but we'll also try and utilize the whole day. So that is to ensure that, that is just the broad proposals then. Colleagues will remember that some of the items that we had on the program for February fell off due to this urgent matter that we must deal with. But there's one issue that we put back on the program, and that is the issues of the DPCI on high-profile cases, as well as input by TISAN Corruption Watch. So we're changing that to the 6th of March to ensure that we deal with it. We also received a request from the Finance Committee to have a joint meeting on the 19th. But currently on the 19th, we will have a briefing from SAPS on the election preparations. So we'll see how things develop, but there was also for a joint meeting on the issues of illicit flows. So, and then of course, very importantly, we must also deal quite urgently with the private members bill of Athlete Alberts. Members will remember, we asked for additional information, the three court cases that they referred to, I think it was distributed this week. So as soon as we've got a space, even next week, we will then deal with the motion of desirability on the private members bill. So members, that is the broad program before we go to today's program. Just to get comments on Bokalabana.
Just one proposal. On Tuesday the 26th, it says we start at 10. I think we should start at 9, because normally on a Tuesday we would start at 10, but I think let's shift it to 9 o'clock.
Is members in agreement? Thank you. So members, that is the broad then program until the end of the term. Of course, if there's any urgent issues, we will deal with it. But we also, again, included the issue of recruitment. And remember, we were destined also to have a briefing on the turnaround at crime intelligence. So we also shifted that to March to ensure that we still deal with it before the end of the term. So, honourable members, that is then the broad program. Thank you very much for your input. Now, members, just to go back to our program that we had set out for this process, just to indicate where we are, and then to deal with a number of issues. Members will, during this week we received, of course, the reasons for the minister in terms of his non-renewal of the contract of the ED. We also received the input from the amicus curiae, and we also received the ED's response last night. Now, in terms of getting that to members is quite important, because I think yesterday we gave electronic versions because we were waiting for all the submissions. I think Mr. Lobby has been able to get the bundle ready, but I don't know if all the documents is there yet. But we'll go through it now, and just to make sure that every member has got copies. Because, colleagues, what we said from the beginning this process is going to be very important, that it should be procedurally but also substantially be fair. So it's important that all members who participate in the process have all the documents, but they must also have ample time to study those documents. So it's going to be very important that when we go through the documents, if there's anything that's been left out, let's get that. And then the second step for today as well, after we go in just cursory through the documents, is if there's any other information that we need from the relevant role players, that we give an indication during the meeting today what additional information we need, so that they can submit it by close of business today, so that we can also study that during the weekend. So that's going to be quite important, just in terms of getting documents. Yes, Honourable Kalabana?
Just a question, why are we now not using the 20th? We were initially going to use both the 19th and the 20th of March, and now I see on the latest schedule there's nothing on the 20th. I thought we were so short of time, we would be using that.
Unfortunately, there's a clash on that day regarding other committees, but we can come back to that, you know, maybe at a later stage. Thank you. Yeah. Just to go to back to today, so we want to ensure that we deal with it, because if we look at the various, in terms of the time frame, we need to ensure that we've got the documents and there's enough time. And even if we want responses, say from the minister or Mr. McBride, we must ensure also that we give them enough time to prepare and then submit it to the committee. Now, colleagues, if we can go to the bundle, just to maybe note the issues, and then I just want to refer to the input from Helen Suzman Foundation, just to bring that to the attention of the committee and our view. The first document is the program. So the only addition now is Monday that's been brought into the program. Then we've got the copy of the referral from the speaker. Then there's the correspondence from the minister regarding the non-renewal, a letter from Mr. McBride to the minister. Then there's also a letter to the chairperson of the committee. There's a letter from Mr. McBride to the speaker and to the committee. That is then number three. Then we've got a copy of the order. That's the draft order. The original order, we don't got a copy, but that's the draft order. And then we've got the response from the minister. And I think there's about six annexures that was is part of that document. So all members got that. Then the response from Mr. McBride. I just want to know, do we've got already the written copies? Okay. Is the main copies the main submission available? Okay. So the main submission is available, but we still need the annexures, although it was electronically, you know, transferred to all the members last night. So I just want to ask the secretary to make sure that, and especially those members who are not here, that they get those copies in time. Then the Amisi Kuria, we got the input from Helen Suzman Foundation and Corruption Watch. Then the contract of employment. That is number 8. Number 9. I don't know. This index is not correct. Please ensure that it's correct. Thank you. Then, we've got a copy of the NA rules with regard to committees. I think it's just for members' convenience. Of course, members got their own copies of the rules. And then, we thought it would be important for members just to also have for reading and discussion for next week to look at Glenister versus the President, the Helen Suzman Foundation versus the President, and the McBride versus Minister of Police. All these three cases discuss important issues. Of course, if there's other case law that members feel that we must make available, let's do that, so that members can have a look. And then we've got a copy of the IPED Act, and specifically, of course, the relevant sections that we have to look at. Right. Okay. Yeah, there's also a copy of the Public Service Act. Yes, Honourable Kalabana.
Unless I'm missing it, it came through quite late last night, so maybe it's still being printed, but the McBride rebuttal to these allegations, which goes through very clearly and has already gone through the Public Service Administration people who've negated all of these accusations that are now being flung around all over the media, everywhere. Even the Speaker says, oh, look at these allegations, without being told they've already been dealt with. I find that, you know, we're sitting here watching the whole rendition thing all over again.
Remember, we're going to discuss, I mean, the process, let's say the merits on Monday and onwards, but I mean, I just want to ensure that you've got copies of everything, you know. Yeah, this is the main presentation from Mr. McBride, but we still need to make copies to the Secretariat of the annexures. So we must ensure, Secretariat, that those copies are available today. So that's quite important. Yes, Honourable Mbele.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a question of clarification and to check whether my pack is not an anomaly. Just before the pink folder divider, or the divider, the heading is IPED Acts, but I see these are the IPED Acts regulations. It's not the Act itself. I mean, I've got a copy of the Act on my laptop, so it's fine. But I'm just thinking for if any other members have a similar thing where you think it's the Act, but it's actually the regulations.
For that, I'm very. Let's just ask the Secretary. Yeah, indeed correct. So can we just maybe ask the Secretary to immediately get a copy, please, of the IPED Act for all the members. Thank you. Right, any other members on the correctness of the bundle? Right, thank you very much. Colleagues, then, maybe just in terms of the process, just to maybe again refer members to the relevant rules of the National Assembly. Once again, the main focus would be in terms of Rule 227, the old Rule 201, yeah. So that will be the main focus, but of course the general powers in 167 will be quite important. Once again, the referral of the Speaker says quite clearly it's for consideration and report. So we must consider it in the next 3-4 days and ensure that the report is ready. Now, members, I just want to turn maybe to the submission from the Alan Sussman Foundation. That we can just, I just want to speak to that. Now, members will remember, I maybe first want to say I want to thank the Alan Sussman Foundation as well as Corruption Watch for the input. We really appreciate it, and what was quite, you know, heartwarming, it was on time, and it is, you know, we received it within the timelines. Now, in terms of the submission of the Alan Sussman Foundation, it is quite clear that they take a different stance than the order that was made by the court. They are of the view that the Portfolio Committee on Police can't deal with the matter. And I just want to get to my copy here. Yeah, Yeah, maybe I want to go to the conclusion. That is the points that is made there by Alan Sussman Foundation. They say that any decision by the portfolio committee will be unlawful and is vulnerable to challenge on review. The fact that the settlement agreement was made in order of the court does not by itself render it unlawful. And they say, as far as the ASF is concerned, the only constitutional compliant interpretation of the IPED Act is one which allows Mr. McBride's term of office to be extended as a result of Mr. McBride indicating that he requests a renewal. And then they indicate it's got no bearing on the portfolio committee with regard to the suspension or removal of Mr. McBride. And then they indicate that they intend on appealing the court order handed down by Judge Hughes, and for this purpose has requested to be provided with written reasons for the decision. They indicate also, until the appeal is finalized, the HF calls on all relevant parties to agree to the following interim regime. The portfolio committee is prevented from deciding on the removal of Mr. McBride's term of office. The minister is prevented from appointing a new acting executive director. The minister is prevented from recommending the appointment of a new executive director. And Mr. McBride's tenure is maintained during the time it takes for the appeal to be finalized. And then they also indicate that, as the committee will know, the operation of the court order is suspended in the event of an appeal or a leave to appeal application. So the reason I'm dealing with that is that it puts a certain legal opinion to the committee. In terms of the advice that the committee has received, at this stage there is a court order in place. There is an official referral from the speaker. So there is no reason at this stage that will have an impact on the committee to deal with the referral. So I just want to put that on record, and members are also welcome to give their input. Honourable Kalabana.
Could I ask you just to clarify for me, we have to come up with a report by the 27th or 8th, 28th, talking about what procedures we've undertaken or set in place. Am I correct, or do we actually have to have a final decision? I'm sure it's not a final decision. I seem to recall you phrasing it, but could you run through it again, please?
Maybe just to distinguish. Remember, there's on the one hand the court process. In terms of the order on today, the portfolio committee must submit an affidavit in terms of our progress, in terms of the settled agreement, yes. In terms of the interim court order, this committee must finalize its activities by the 28th. That is more or less the report, yeah, the report, yes. Honorable Ramatlakane?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a comment on the your point on the Helen Sussman document. Well, I must say, Chair, I must confess that when I was reading this document, I thought it was early hours of this morning. I thought I was had been asleep. I thought I wasn't hearing myself reading it, because it's quite a bizarre piece of work. It seems to appropriate, even it basically says even this order in terms of what court has done is wrong. Their only conclusion is that their viewpoint as put on the paper is a correct one. So I want to agree that certainly, we have a responsibility. In fact, we've been directed, part of the affidavit today that you're talking about, has to tell the court what have we done and what are we going to do up until the 28th. Now, Helen Sussman, in terms of their view, we shouldn't do anything. We should in fact go to court tomorrow or today with affidavit and say we can't do anything. We have no jurisdiction over this particular matter, even though the matter has been referred to the committee in terms of parliament, the rules in terms of the speaker properly. There's a proper procedure that has been followed here. I don't think, Chair, and I want to make a submission that we are not bound by this submission from Helen Suzman that we must not do anything. We are bound by the rules of the house, and we are bound by the draft court order of what we need to do. That's why we have this 28 day that we need to meet. So I just want to suggest that we note their views, is there, but we don't quite agree with it. We should proceed in accordance with our program.
Honourable Bailey, welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, the difficulty with this matter, since it surfaced with the Minister's initial correspondence with Mr. McBride indicating his intention not to renew, is the fact that the IPID Act is not clear or explicit on the procedure or mechanism for renewal of the ED's contracts. It only speaks to appointments and, as now amended, removal. For me, at least, created an ambivalence of being uncertain as to, you know, whether or not or what role the portfolio committee would have, because it's not laid out clearly. There's an argument to be made that because the committee plays the confirmation or rejection role in the appointments, that could be extended as it applies to renewal. And another part of me also hears what the Helen Suzman Foundation is at least speaking to in terms of principle around ensuring optimal independence and integrity of the ED's position. And that's at least raising questions around the proposed course of action going forward. And so that's why I would just like to re-emphasize the point that I made in the previous meeting on last Thursday, which is that because, as the foundation indicates, this matter would be open to legal review, this committee's process in rationality, in procedural integrity, as well as substantive deliberation, has to be absolutely on point. We really don't want to open ourselves up to the risk of being party to another litigation case that will leave us with egg on our faces. And so, although I know some of the colleagues on the committee are sticklers for the 28th February deadline, I want to say again, there is provision in the High Court order for us to make submissions as to whether we require a further period on our determination in relation to the Minister's position. And so I really want to say, if needs be, and I suspect it may get to that, we can make use of that to give ourselves more time before 28 February so that we don't further down the line end up with headlines that leave us embarrassed in courts. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with Honourable Bailey that, I mean, our approach is going to be from this table that from a procedural and substantive perspective, everything must be correct done. We must canvass all related information. Any information that must be made available to the different parties, they must have an opportunity to respond. There must be ample consideration of all the matters. So that's quite critical. We're going to do that quite effectively. I think maybe if there is any other member, because I want to maybe go now to the presentation of Corruption Watch, which came up with, I think, very useful and valuable process proposals that I want to maybe bring into the process. Yes, Honourable Kolobana.
Considering the gravity of this and the various people being phoned and asked to support certain areas or not, could I ask that perhaps we do what we've so often done in this committee and have ask our researchers to draw up a document which gives us the input summaries from each. We have the McBride versus Minister of Police and another, the ramifications of that, etc. In a single document, so that we can compare in. As we've done with most other legislation we deal with, but I think this is the equivalent, frankly.
In terms of the court cases, of course, there's a court summary in terms of the case law bundle. So, I mean, that would be maybe the way to go, but of course, we will look at everything. Members, other input, Honourable Ramatakani, then I'll come to Honourable Malabatsi. Yes, thank you.
I did want to just... give Honourable Mbele comfort that the issue about some member stickler in terms of 28, we will cross the bridge when we get to it. If we as a committee are unable to finish on the 28, we will say as this committee in session that we are unable to finish, and therefore it's reasonable to ask extension. But it's not something that we can start with. Anticipate that we're not going to finish. So we will be flexible in engagement around whether there is we're doing substantive work and whether we're meeting the timeline. On the other part, I think, Chair, I actually wanted to suggest that this matter is thrown on the committee's lap that we must deal with. Like Honorable Mbele is saying, that we would like to make sure that we do to the best of our ability, that we don't get into court. I am hesitant, even though I'm a bit persuaded, but I'm hesitant to ask the committee research to use their own view in summarizing what seems to be a minefield for me. A whole lot of things that are said here. That she now needs to sit down and make decision of what she summarizes for us. It may just get us into some tunnel way of which I think let's read the papers, let's deal with the matters as on the document. I think Minister Stoff's point in McBride, and let's deal with that. There are next steps. I don't really, I'm hesitant to ask a good doctor there to go and put the teeth in everything else and come up with what she may think is a correct and leave out something that may be important. I'm trying to persuade Honorable Kolobana that perhaps it's upon us to put our teeth in this, not asking anybody to do it for us, and then that person end up into hot water, having left something out, which is important in the process of summarizing. That's my plea.
Elena, I will give the opportunity, Honourable Mbulebatsi.
Mine is just to say, let us relax and give the process time to unfold, and avoid a situation where we already start as if we are panicking and declaring our desires for the outcome of the thing, you know. Let us relax. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mabija, and then again Honourable Karabona.
I also would like to indicate that and stress and emphasize that we do not need to cross the bridge before we come to it. So, as this committee, as Ramatlakane said, Honorable Ramatlakane said, we need to use what we have now before us. Other things will come after we have done the right thing as honorable members to take a sound decision according to the relevant papers that we have. The nitty-gritties of this and that will come after we are done, after the 28th, after we have submitted everything that we are supposed to. There's no extension, according to my understanding, that is needed. If had we have the Honorable Mbele that the IPED Act and found that there's this and this and this. He was supposed to have done that long ago because it's now 5 years expiring. And we don't have to waste time as honorable members of this committee to do the honorable thing, to do right, to use what we have now, as of now. Your input, your whatever, or will come after we have done what we are expected to do as members of this committee. Thank you.
Member Honourable Golubano?
Yeah. A lesser person might have found what the Honourable Ramatakane said extremely patronising, but I'm sure he didn't mean it that way. I just wanted to say our researchers are probably the best researchers in Parliament. They have led us through legislation and difficult times. They have never slipped once, ever. So to suggest they may take some kind of decision to leave certain things out of a research document, I think was extremely insulting. And because they can't stick up for themselves, I'll do it. So please, show some respect for people who work a lot harder than we do, frankly. I will prepare my own document, as I always do and have done for 15 years, but really, don't.
I don't want to do a mini debate. I want to go through the process, Honourable Molabatsi, and then Honourable Ramatlakane.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You see, Honourable Kolabanat is trembling on. You know, you can't. We all have researchers, and they are all very, very good. We can't allow you to tell us of your good researchers and what. That is unacceptable, Chair. I thought you were saying your researchers. Okay, no, I understand. You see, thank you, Chair.
Right, thank you, Honourable Ramatakane, thank you.
No, Chair, I think I have a right to respond. The suggestion I'm making is never intended to attack the researchers. So, Honourable Kolomar must not stop abusing my mouth. I've never said that. All I'm saying is that that's not the job of the researchers. I'm saying these matters that have been presented, let's read it. Why should we want to ask the researchers to do the work for us? Well, let's do it. And I'm not necessarily impugning their integrity to suggest that. It's simply not on. It stands rejected, actually.
Thank you. Honourable Mbeda, you covered, yeah. Maybe the discussion now, when I read last night some of the documents, there was one paragraph in the submission of Corruption Watch that I think is applicable to this mini debate. It said on paragraph 12, the Portfolio Committee is constitutionally and legislatively obligated to determine the renewal of the incumbent's post by 28 February 2019. A failure to do so will mean the Portfolio Committee has defaulted on its oversight duties. I just want to re-emphasize the second paragraph. A failure to do so will mean the Portfolio Committee has defaulted on its oversight duties. So I think it's quite critical that we, you know, we work together. Let's leave the mini debates out. Let's focus on the core business that we are here for. Now, in terms of taking the process forward, it's quite vital to note that we, in terms of the rules, 227, we are the Portfolio Committee on Police. We're not the rubber stamp of the executive. We're not the rubber stamp of any department or any lobby group. So we have the relevant documents that was provided to us, but it's now incumbent on us to say, well, looking at the process, what other documents and information do we need as well? And that's why I'm saying Corruption Watch, the document by Mr. Lewis is a well... crafted document, and I just want to take members to page, I think it's 4. There's some suggestions I think we can look at. He indicated in applying its collective mind, because that's now the process. He says there in point 14, in applying its collective mind on whether or not to renew the contract of Mr. McBride, the Portfolio Committee has to give due consideration to the following. So he lists a number of issues. and I thought it was quite useful last night when I read it. It indicates the performance of the incumbent as the ED and accounting officer of IPET over the last 5 years, the performance of IPET under the leadership of the incumbent, and then the various tasks, and then the advantages and disadvantages associated with the renewal of the contract. That's where the court, the jurisprudence come in, and also preliminary recommendations, and also, of course, portfolio committee meetings that we had, and resolutions of the committee. So the committee must not restrict itself on what is only before us. We've got a duty as parliamentarians to look at the wider scope of our work. So we must ensure that we look at all relevant factors, all relevant sources. So that's quite important. We are not rubber stamps of the executive, of departments or lobby groups. That's quite critical. So in taking that forward, honourable members, and I know you only received the documents last night, but is there any other documents or relevant information you believe we should ask from the minister, the ED, or related parties, that we can have it by 5 o'clock, so when we start on Monday, in terms of our serious deliberations, that we have that with us, we can study it over the weekend. Honourable Colonel Barnard.
I think I read at the end of the Helen Sussman Foundation, they're taking something or other on review. Where does that leave us?
We remember we already dealt with this point. We already dealt with it. We don't think it's irrelevant, but the legal advice we got from parliamentary legal advisors and counsel is, at this stage there is a court order where the applicant and the second and the first respondents are in agreement, and that that indicates a roadmap. We're busy with that roadmap. Secondly, there's an official referral from the Speaker that was tabled, and the matter is before the committee. So unless there is change in circumstances or a court order in a different, that makes a different impact or input, we are going ahead with the process as envisaged in the roadmap. Honourable Kola Bana, sorry, you want to come? Yes, Honourable Ramatakane.
Now, Chair, I just want to speak to the item of the, if I may, on the additional. In trying to peruse the document, the 400-page email that was emailed, I thought that I did not see, but I want to make a request that perhaps there is a need for us to get the AG's report. AG's report in particular that dealt with the number of issues in the IPET, in terms of the IPET annual report. And we do need the notes, the briefing notes, from the AG. We do want that the information in the briefing note had a lot to deal with the issue of governance. It's part of that. The issues of leadership is part of that. And more importantly, the issue about the financial management as well as part of that area. If we can source that kind of information, if we could be made, it could be made available. The second information I did not see in the document is we as a committee, over a period of time, we had something to say about various department agencies that report under us on the BRRR report. If we could be given a copies of the BRRR report, particularly when we're dealing with the issues about the annual report and the issues about the program and what has happened. Thirdly, if it is possible, but it should be possible given that what we are dealing with. There was a policing research work that was done, policing research by our researchers here that did the assessment, number of assessment report that was done in terms of the department, including the iPad. If that could be made available, also by close for business, and I'm looking over my shoulder, then Chair, the one area that I think we should get, I don't know who's going to give it this to us, the latest security clearance of the ED, if that could also be made available. The second last, for me, is this. The minister in the submission has a phrase that he reserved the rights to give additional information. If we could ask that the minister also pass by close of business, he provides the committee with that additional information. Specifically in that additional information is a whole area of the management and management accountability, all those kind of things that deals with this, if you could make that available. And then the last point for me is this, from the, I saw the ED's document and the rebuttal. I was reading it last night, middle of the night. I wonder if we couldn't ask Chair that we get a copy of the applications. There are three applications that were made by the ED to the post of the National Commissioner of Police, the head of Hawks, as well as the crime intelligence, head of crime intelligence. If we could get those copies of those applications.
Meaning court applications?
No.
What are you?
Application to become a head of the police. It's a Z83, what is it called? Z83? Z83 or something else? Those set of applications.
So three institutions? The secretariat must just know, did you?
So police, is the Hawks, and I guess they are, it's the CI. That's for me the completion of the list.
I just want to make sure that we've got the whole list of us, Honourable Khan. Just maybe number it, because if also then make it part of the bundle. Honourable Molabatsi, then Honourable Mbele, and Honourable Tolebana.
Thank you, Chair.
Lezi, you as well. you're covered. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My list goes as follows. A copy of the performance agreement of the ET, including key performance areas. And copies of annual performance assessment of the ED for the last 5 years. My next one is dates of annual performance assessment. My last one, copies of outcomes of annual performance assessment. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Ramatlakane's inputs actually just reminded me of something that's had occurred to me yesterday, but I've forgotten so far. The one related, call it ball, that has been dropped unintentionally because of this urgent matter landing on the committee's laps, is, you'll recall that in a previous version of the committee program, we were supposed to receive a briefing from the IPID, as well as CIRA and other entities on updates of the high-profile cases. And that kind of progress update speaks to the performance of the departments. So given that that sort of information would have been more recent and up-to-date and speaks to those matters, I know at least I received a hard copy of it. My suggestion is that becomes part of the package as well, of being processed. Thanks, Chair.
So members of the Secretariat, just add that this is actually Honourable Colubona.
And I just wanted to confirm with you, obviously we don't know what the attachments are which are going to be given to us, but it would be the Public Service Commission. I'm reading on page 6, Public Service Commission's letter, submissions that the IPID made to the Public Service Commissioner, and then the letter saying the allegations were unsubstantiated. So that's three attachments. Are there others that are attached that will be given to us?
Attachments, I think we dealt with it previously in the committee, but let's get their copies as well as annexures if it's not part of the submission. But we have it, I think, as a committee. Yeah. Anything else from your side, Anwar Kaimana? Okay. Right. Any other members on? Yes.
In the three zip files that were submitted by the ED, I've seen about maybe 15 attachments, including the public service letter and. It's on the, there's a something link that you must link into it, that it's a whole three zip files on there.
Okay. The content advisor drew my attention to a letter of Mr. Mushlongu. Can you just maybe indicate content advisor?
Mr. Mushlongu sent the letter on the... we have to include it. I think I got lost mic before.
Okay, we can make it available to members as part of the pack. Okay. Is it relevant to the proceedings?
It's probably true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can make it available.
Otherwise, we must read also all the other documents and the annexures. I'm prepared until 5. I'm fine. So also that letter. Members, anything else that we need to get from the relevant role players? Honourable Ramatakane?
I think, in all fairness, In the opening paragraph of ED's response, he speaks about the hasty that this thing has, he was under extreme pressure to prepare the responses. Maybe we should indicate as well that if there are additional information that, given the hastiness and the speed in which everybody had to do this, that we should say the same deadline that we have spoken about here by the close of business today at 5 o'clock, that supplementary information should be made available. So that message should reach him so that it's not only other people that are here. I think we should recognize that he did make the point that he was in a hurry. So that extension should also go to him.
It's very important. If the relevant parties, if there's anything they else want to bring to the attention of the committee, they must please submit it to us, you know, by clear office of business. And I think legal service must just assist us with those letters as well, that we, directed to the relevant role players, that we get those information, so that members over the weekend can study it. Because the dilemma is, we received the last documents late last night, so it's difficult to now really go to those documents. Is Honourable Colubona? So there is agreement then on to get those documents available to members by 5, and also those members who are currently not with us, we just asked the secretary to ensure that it's also sent electronically to them, and also ensure that we update then the bundle with regards to Monday's discussions. Right, colleagues, in terms of further process proposals at this stage, Honourable Ramatlakane.
Spence, Chair, with all the additional information, perhaps if we could just finalise the procedure of then Monday, what then happened, what the procedure. I had in a reading of the ED's document, there's a couple of section in the document where specific pleas made for the consideration of the committee. Perhaps I want to comment on it, but I don't know when I should comment on it.
You know, let's say finalize the framework for our work for the next 3 days. You're welcome. You can go in, sir. Thank you.
No, Chair, the ED in the document makes the, and I'm not necessarily going to go into a specific area, in general terms, makes the point that there should be an oral submission. In other words, all interested parties should be called, and they should be across the table engagement on the either allegation X and allegation B. And of course, I think that extension would probably also speak to whether the minister has to do the same. Considering the time of that of pressure that we need to have here to meet the deadline, and the volume of the information that we have towards the 28th, my submission, Chair, is that the rule does make the provision, 167, does make a provision about making our own arrangement, whether it's oral or submission, whether it's on papers. My submission at this stage, given the time that we are working under here, is that we should use a latitude that is provided in the rules that we must make the arrangement, our own arrangement, that we're not going to be calling for oral hearing. That under these conditions, that is why we want everybody to put everything on paper, so we can consider everything on paper, and that's why the ED must also do the same. So we will take and deal and apply our mind on what is written on all the submission, both between the minister and the ED, including the corruption watch, as well as the Helen Suzman. I think that's my submission, that we're not going to, if that happens, we're not going to be able to ever meet the deadline. It's going to be ever elastic time frame that we're going to have to operate under. So to make it clear, my proposal is that we're not going to be have oral presentation as requested or seem to be requested here, that we'll do rather the paper. We'll consider all of these things which the paper presented before us. That's my proposal.
I'm going to give an opportunity to Honourable Delezi and to Honourable Mbele. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe just to get a clarity from my colleague in terms of the oral presentations, what harm maybe does it do, say, even if we come to a point where we say we won't meet our deadline, will that not then necessitate us to extend, to go beyond the due date? Because I believe that as much as everything may be written down, but if you've got questions to that specific person, the presentation on paper won't give you answers to this. Just my
Honourable Mbele,
Thank you, Chair. I think very much along the same lines. I do have to strongly disagree with Honourable Ramatlakane's proposal, because we just said not less than 20 minutes ago, we're not going to preempt the process or the outcome. We'll cross bridges when we get to them. We're going to give ourselves space and time to be substantive and comprehensive. And now there's a proposal for a very clear and concrete exclusion of a means to conduct that process, and thus give ourselves the opportunity to do the right thing, as Honourable Magwitsa said. So there's a contradiction in terms there, and that's something that's not going to fly, Chair. That's just not going to fly. Let's step by step do what needs to be done. Consider all options, and given the nature of parliamentary oversights, oral interaction is a key mechanism for that. It's how we do our work, Chairperson. That just doesn't make sense to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kolobana.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree. It's part of the process, and it's what we do with every single piece of work we do. It's our oversight job, and to have individuals here who we can question is what it's all about. If we come up with a question on a report, we have no one to put it to. Must we then call them in to answer a specific question or simply go without the answer? It can't be. Of course we must have oral submissions. Thank you.
Any other member? Honourable Mabija, did you indicate?
I wanted to say this, that the oral thing part of this process, as Ramatlakane indicated, I'm also strongly supporting him, that idea, because what we want is not to delay the process, because that is exactly going to delay the process. So when we have the paper information that was submitted to us, it will be sufficient for us to work as expected. And we do not want to turn the portfolio committee in a court, to be a courtroom. There's time for that. And this is a portfolio where we work according to the mandate given to us, not a mandate given to us by IPD. Thank you.
Honourable
Mulabasi, then Honourable Butlezi. Yes, Chair. I also concur with the idea of no oral submissions. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Butlezi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I should make mention of the fact that the reason why I support the fact that when there is a need, we must receive oral submissions. It's not only IPED who has indicated that they prepared this under such a pressure, even the Minister of Police himself. So both parties here have indicated that extra information can be provided. And for us, I don't think it's right, what I understand to be speaking particularly to the issue of time. But I don't think that he was opposed per se to the issue of submission. Hence, I'm saying, if we can't meet the deadline of the 28th, as we have agreed here, that time can be extended. I see no harm, honestly. And I'm saying this from a neutral point of view.
Honourable Rabbitani?
No, Chair. I certainly value the point about crossing the bridge when you get to it, that we can cross the bridge when you get to it. But the point is this: there is a difference between what is said oral submission and engaging with questions that you need to deal with. So if the issue here is going to be in the process of dealing with all of these things, there is going to be a set of questions that require some clarity. I think there could be elasticness in that, that those questions can then be answered. So I think we should make provision for that to be answered. But that's different between what is called oral submissions. Now, oral submission in terms of this has another, it will be another minefield. It can be a law. So I'm saying, Chair, that I don't want to be tripped by this issue, but the point is this, there is a flexibility in this in terms of asking those clarification questions we need to be, but that's a different than oral submission.
Thank you. Maybe just to get an indication from you, Honourable Ramatlakane, do you want to take that matter now further, or should we maybe ask legal services in terms of Rule 167, just to look at that, the issue of only looking at written submissions and so on, you know, in terms of appropriateness, is that fine? And then we can maybe on Monday have a view on that. Is that fine?
The, in the context of what we are discussing here and the flexibility that we are building in the process, I'm sure the legal advice can help us to make it a procedure, because I think the one of the problem that you need to avoid is to change the procedure midstream. We would have to be clear about that procedure that we're going to follow. If the procedure in it, there is a mechanism built into that clarification, some of those questions that must be done, they can help us with that to say this is going to be the procedure. Chair, be a good confusion of an oral submission. That's a position I think we should make it clear.
We've got a stalemate, as you see, 3-3. We want them. They don't want them. There's obviously a, you know, it's an agenda. I understand that, but I think we do absolutely need to take legal advice, because if we misstep even minutely, this will land up in court and it'll come back to bite us.
Okay, I've listened to the debate. Thank you for the input. I think the ruling I'm going to make is that we will get legal advice on before Monday, just in terms of Rule 167. Can we only stick to written submissions as the route? Is that fine? Is it safe? In terms of maybe further clarification, what is the status of oral? Let's ask the experts and we get a neutral view. You know, is that fine with honourable members? Excellent. Is there any other process proposals that members wants to put on the table? So as we envisage now the process, we will get on Monday morning or hopefully over the weekend that specific legal advice. Then we will go through the, and of course we will hopefully by this afternoon at close of business receive this additional documents that was mentioned by the various members of the committee and the content advisor that will be submitted, and then we will start with the relevant deliberations. But we accept that members will be fully au fait with all the material when we start on Monday. We're not going to delay it. We're going because we want to already start with the structure of the broad report. I think the introduction as well as the framework of the deliberations is already there, and the documents. So it's going to be really to look at the various options, what is on the table, and also the broad maybe guidelines set out in the Corruption Watch document that I think is valuable to look at the broader issues. And I want to thank members for putting those additional items on the table that we can also look at that. Yes, Honourable Ramatlakane.
Chair, I hate to take you back to the program, but can I ask this question? Is the hours of ending cast in concrete? Are they all cast? For an example, I'm looking at Monday the 25th. The program is 10 to 5. I'm asking, is the 5 cast in concrete, or there is a elasticness? Because I'm thinking that we may have to work a bit late on Monday, but I know you don't have the budget. Maybe so if you can work maybe longer on Monday to go through all of this, and then it minimizes the hours on for two following days. So I suggest that Monday becomes a longer day, and I hate to put the time, but I think we can go to midnight. Let's just go until midnight. Yeah.
Oh, that would be lazy. But in terms of productivity, honestly speaking, can you go from 10 until Bundu? I don't trust that myself.
Yeah, no, I think we will. We will do a special application to the House Chair for the necessary.
No, I understand that they can approve, but I mean to say, as much as our brains may be so much workaholic, but it will that be justice to sit for so many hours?
Let's cross that bridge when we come to it, but I think we will believe into the program. Is Honourable Kalaba?
In my conversation with Mr. Lobby just now, who printed up the regulations again and not the actual bill, I said, will he have the various attachments soon? And he said over the weekend. So I'm not going to sit here till 5 o'clock waiting for documents that aren't going to arrive. Could we maybe find out what's really happening?
I think the secretariat and the content advisor and the relevant staff, that I will also speak to the manager of the unit. We really need to get all hands on deck to deal with this issue. We can't handle it in this way. So we need all hands on deck and get those documents to the members. No, thank you for that. Any other honourable members? Right, members, so I think there's agreement that we will then resume our meeting on Monday morning at 10 o'clock. We will then first deal with that issue of written oral issue, and of course then we will immediately go into the deliberations on the minister's reasons, the ED's response, and of course all the relevant other documentation that we require. But once again, members, if there's anything else during the day you think we must also add, please make contact with the secretariat and we'll include it in the list. Anything else, honourable members? Thank you very much. We come then to the end of this meeting and we resume our meeting Monday at 10 o'clock. Thank you.